Fear is something. It's called a continuum. There's a thing called a continuum of fear. A continuum of fear. A continuum of fear is simply one end, no fear. In the middle, a healthy fear. And at the other end of the spectrum is unhealthy fear. I have a fear that I don't want no trouble at the river. Just what you said. My fear is I don't want no trouble at the river. When my day comes and it's time for me to cross the river, I don't want no trouble at the river. My biggest fear, or has been, is that I'm going across and I see Jesus. And everything looks good behind him, and I'm going across again, and he stops me. He says, wait, Lyle, come here. And I go back, look at him, say, yes, sir. He said, I want to show you something. And he takes me over to the edge of the river. As we look off the edge of the river down into a chasm called hell. And as I look down in hell, I said, wait a minute. I know her. Hey, Jesus, I know him. And I know him too. And then Jesus looks at me and says, I know you do. Because I sent you to minister to them. But you didn't. I sent you to be an example for them. But you weren't. And because you didn't answer the call and do what you were called to do, why don't you go over there and be with them? There's not a man or a woman under the sound of my voice tonight that hasn't been called by God. We're not all called to the same thing. So don't think if you're not ever behind the podium that you're failing your thing, but we're all called to some degree or another. Fear comes from listening to a voice other than God. When the children of Israel, when God said, I gave you the promised land. Said, I gave you the promised land. It's yours. Go in and take it. That should have been enough. But they began to talk among each other. And somebody said, wait. Let's send some spies in. Let's send some spies. God never told them to send any spies in. Why are you concerned about things that God aren't concerned about? God wasn't concerned about those giants. He knew the giants were in there. He told you to go get it. He told them to go get it. Why would they be concerned? So they began to talk among each other. Then the fallibilities came in. The fear of looking at what you see. Faith is walking by, we walk by faith and not by sight. We listen to God and it doesn't matter on what we believe. If I act on what I think, I would be nowhere in life. I'd still be the old dope fiend I always used to be. I'd be the same guy always wondering if they're coming to get me. See, the day when the police get behind me on the streets, the police got behind me today on the streets. That means nothing to me. Absolutely not. In fact, a few months ago, police got behind me and went around. And I thought to myself, how come they'll never pull me over? That's a silly way of thinking, but I'm just thinking, why they don't never pull me over? Because I have everything that I'm supposed to have today. And I'm not saying that other than all I did when I walked out of the prison doors, I had two outfits and probably $75 in my name. And someone's couch to sleep on. That's what I had. But I had Jesus. The word says, do not despise the day of small beginnings. Quit looking at what I didn't have. I couldn't wear both outfits at one time. I wear one today and one tomorrow. I look at the disciples on the boat. Jesus says, let us go to the other side. He'd already told you where you were going. Let us go to the other side. and he fell asleep and the storm came. And they panicked. They began to holler and scoop around like we do, because one thing I used to be really, really, really afraid of, those storms. I heard about this hurricane that was over Puerto Rico for 40 hours. I couldn't imagine being in that type of situation for 40 straight hours. But Jesus had already told them, we're going to the other side. Let us go to the other side. So what's the problem? They panicked, they screamed, they woke Jesus up. And Jesus said, ye have little faith. How long am I got to tarry with you? Ye have little faith. God has promised everybody in this room something, or you wouldn't be here. God has pricked your heart at one time or another. I may not have been there. You may not have been in no big room or no big crowd. You may have been in handcuffs on the way down the RDC. You may have been on the way down to jail in the back of the car. You may have been running out in the street for your life. You may have been in the middle of one of your crimes. You may have been in a dope house, but God said something to you and you heard him. He promised you something. He didn't never tell you, nowhere in the word, and I've read this word, and I study a lot, and nowhere in the word did he say, I'm going to show you and tell you how I'm going to do everything. He never said, I'm going to show you and tell you how I'm going to do everything. I used to fear going down to the community correction. When I was on house arrest, I hated going down there, because in my mind, I'd already be on the phone. See, because I was one of the people who went on house arrest. I got everybody's phone number that was on house arrest too. And we all called each other. And for the most part, it was the blind leading the blind. I'm not saying that to be funny. But we all had fears. We all had doubts. We all had anxieties. We all had a hatred for authority. So the little bit of Jesus I had in me was quickly sucked out by all the things bombarded me that I said and listened to that foolishness. God said you could make it. God said you were going through this program. He didn't say go down there and we're going to have problems. He didn't say everything was going to be nice and friendly. He said, I'm going to bring you through it. And when, you know what? And I look back now and I can honestly say this. Maybe this will help somebody. I can look back now. It's been over 9 years for me since I committed a crime, or almost 9 years since I got high or got drunk or committed a crime or any of those crazy things such as that. But I went through a lot after I got saved. After I got saved, I went through a lot. I went for try to get jobs here, try to get jobs there, because I'm a journeyman concrete finisher. But I'm old. Man, I didn't want to drag that concrete around like that no more, man. I couldn't do them 12-hour days like them young boys, and I knew I couldn't. But I also knew that $7 an hour wasn't going to feed me. I knew at $7 an hour I was going to always be on somebody's couch. Or I'm going to find me some woman to prostitute myself out, which, excuse that word, but that's just what it was back then, because I didn't love anybody. I'd find me some woman who would let me climb up in her house, and we would live there, and we would go. I didn't want to do that this time. I said, God, however you do it, you do it. It didn't make any difference. So then I got in a car accident. Got hurt because I had a job. I was working in a food truck. I worked with Zippo's for a while. I worked at Raging Cajun. Helped them build a restaurant in Columbia City. We put these things together. Wasn't making a whole lot of money. Then I got hurt. And I'm on a cane. I could barely make it around. Just got a car. Barely make it around. Wonder how am I going to pay my car note. And just for about an hour, that fear started coming in, because I would hear people who didn't believe would say, well, you know, a lot of people lose their stuff at this point. But I believed in God. I believed in God. I sat down. I called disability. I filed a form for disability. Or somebody online, I went on something and did it on disability, and they turned me down. I sat in the kitchen at my sister's house. I said, no, God, I got to have something to sustain me. I got a pencil and paper. I didn't get no form. I got a pencil and a pen and a paper. And I wrote a letter to the Social Security office. They called me about 2 weeks later. Said, go down to St. Joe Hospital and see this guy. I went down there. 30 days later, they said, come on to the office. You have been accepted. And I was happy. I have a way to pay my car note. I have a way to sustain myself. But I'm going to tell you something. God had promised me more than that. God had promised me more than that. I was happy with what I had to be able to sustain myself, but I wasn't satisfied because I knew in my heart I wasn't disabled. I knew this too shall pass. And as I began to believe that, God began to elevate my life. He began to put me in places I never thought I would go. He began to put me in places where they were calling me down at the mayor's office to come and sit in meetings. The old dope fiend like me. The old thief on the street. The old guy with all them prison years behind him. So I'm going down there. And so then they put me in this company. And they were so impressed with what God had placed in me that in order to get me in the company, they gave everybody, in order to get you, part of my contract was that everybody in the factory had to get a $2 an hour raise in order to get me in the factory. That's what God will do. And then when I got in there, they started with me with way more than they start everybody else with. And I thought, well, okay. And I thought to myself, when I first looked, I walked through the factory and saw them big pipes. I seen that steel and stuff everywhere, and I began to think, man, I'm old, God. I'm old. You know, I don't want to let nobody down, but I'm old. That fear, somebody said fear of failure. Somebody said they had a fear of failure. I looked at them pipes and I thought, boy, I see them young boys up on top of the tables. I said, man, Lord have mercy. Good gravy. But I believe God. So I went and bought me a pair of knee pads. I said, I can't run across that table like that, but I'll crawl across there, baby. So none of you young boys got to outwork me. I guarantee you that. And my back was bothering me so bad that I walked with the 10-point coalition at night. I would get off work and I'd be on that cane and I would walk about almost a half a block. I said, y'all, we got to hold on. I just lay on that cane for a minute. Then they told me, say, hey, why don't you quit? My brother was there. They said, man, you ought to just quit. You know, you can't do that. You this and that. That's a lie. God had already told me I was going to do this. I told him I can't quit because I'm a bridge. I said, because somebody's got to come behind me and get from there to here. So I can't quit. And God took that pain from me. He took that pain from me. And, you know, God began to deal with me. Some girl told me one day, well, you look like you in pain. You act like you in pain. I said, I'm not acting. But see, I know I've learned some things. I learned that at my age and all I put my body through, I've been shot. I've been stabbed. I've been in more fights than I can count. I played every sport, karate, basketball, football, and I left it on the field. I played hard. So my body's going to have some pain. But you know I do them pains in the morning? I take them to work with me. If I got to go to work, they got to go too. Ain't no laying in. We got to go to work. Because I'm responsible to myself and for myself because that fear is gone. I called the people in the Social Security office. Hey, please do me a favor. I said, what's that? I said, do not send another check to my bank account. Hold that money for somebody who's disabled. Don't send another check to my bank account. I make more, and I mean quite a bit more in a week than I was making in a month. And I'm not saying this to brag. I'm saying God has called you to something. But I didn't see that. I never would have saw that. You know, I was at work today. I go to work and feel good. I'm working hard, doing my thing. I'm not going to let them young boys outwork me. I got knee pads. I got light on my forehead. Whatever I need to do, I'm doing it. I'm getting in there. I'm getting it in every day. I don't show up late. Work starts at 7 o'clock at 6:30. Lyle's already sitting in the break room. Because I got to be an example to show somebody you can do this. But my job, my contract said that if I can leave work, I left work today and went to the courthouse. Somebody's going to plumb you guys, so I'm in the courthouse. Now, I went to the courthouse. You know what, though? I was still on the clock. My foreman clocked me. They said, he knows why you're ready to go. Hey, clock live out at 3:30. I left work at 12. Clock him out at 3:30. That's the favor of God. I didn't know that. When I first saw them pipes, man, I was scared. I told my brother about it. Man, I don't know if I can do all that, man. Young boy, a young man that I got a job through, reentry court out there. He was 19 when I got him in out there. He's 20 now. That young boy stood there one day and told me, he said, I'm stronger than you, old school. I just laughed at him. Just laughed at him, Mick. I said, you may be stronger longer, but for the first few minutes, you don't got a chance. I don't believe that old man, old school. And it came a day, wasn't about a couple days later, then we had opportunity to prove it. Because they had those big pipes on the table. And I had come early, he was on the other end. I said, tell you what, I'll help you get him. It was this table. I said, I'll help you get him, brother. I said, get that in. He went down there, and that young man grabbed that pipe and wrestled for a few minutes. And I'm just looking at him. Because I thought he was doing it the wrong way. See, because some things, see, wisdom comes with age. So he grabbed that thing, went to wrestle, and he couldn't get it. He said, hold on, old school. I said, no, hold on. Just step back. I grabbed that thing and put it up over my head and set it up on the other end and said, look, let me get your end. But what I'm telling you is this. I had to leave that fear alone. Fear would have made me quit that first week. Fear would have made me quit the 10-point coalition. Because of the 10-point coalition, I don't know how many men that were homeless have jobs and have their wives with them. I don't know how many men come up to me when I come to work in the morning. Hey, man, I appreciate you. I said, no, it ain't me, brother. It's you. I appreciate you for taking advantage of the opportunity given to you. But what if I had that fear? What if I'd have been like the 10 spies that said, we can't take the land? God said, he told him, I give you everywhere your foot step. I've given that to you. Take your promises. Hold on to your promises. The Bible said all the promises of God are yea and amen. There's not one promise in there that says you can't do it. It's a promise for him, but not you. No. You may not be able to lift them pipes like I do, but I may not be able to think like you. I may not be as quick in the bath. I may not be able to do some of the things you do. They got women out there to do the hangers and stuff, man. They be gone. Man, I couldn't see myself doing that all day. But all I'm saying is this. Don't let fear get in your way. Fear trapped me all those years. All those years I'd get out of prison, go through the program, and I knew how to act. So I had learned how to comply. I had learned how to try to fool someone. I knew how to comply. See, the difference in complying and surrender, I knew how to comply. I had a good memory. I learned what to say. I learned how to speak and say the things I needed to say. But in the back of my mind, Greg, in the back of my mind, I knew I was going back. Because there were things I just didn't want to get rid of. In the right places. You know, you talk about the 10 virgins with the lamps. 5 foolish and 5 wise. They were all in the place. See, when you talk about oil, there were 5 of them that didn't bring oil for their lamps. The other 5 did. Oil in the Bible always represents the Spirit. When they talk about oil, they're talking about the Spirit. You can go through this. And you can learn all the right things to say. You can go through the church, learn all the right things to say. You can go to NA. I went to the rehab program so much. I learned the 12 steps, the rats and crazy, the motto. I can say them all. But I couldn't live a nook of worth for nothing because I didn't have no God in me. I would tell you I did. Because one thing I didn't know how. I'd be sitting right in the place with a man next to me that has God in him, and I'm too ashamed or too much pride to ask him, man, how do I get where you are? Going to hell from the third pew of the church. Going to hell with all this memorization in my mind. Memorize the Bible. I don't even know how many scriptures I know. But one thing about it, the Holy Ghost says he will teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance. As I need it, or as God needs to use me, the scriptures start to come up. And they'll start to come out. But what I'm saying is you got to not let fear grip you. I don't care nothing about that penitentiary. Amen. If I go back, it's because God needs me to do something in there, and I'm going in. Don't matter to me. See, it used to be a time where somebody said, well, I don't want to die alone. I don't want to die. It had been a time I didn't want to die in prison. In this room, there's guys I was in prison with. One of my fears, boy, I sure don't want to die in here. And I worked as lay advocate, so I would go into the infirmary with guys with cancer and all that kind of stuff. Knowing they're doing bad. Know this guy's going to die. You see, he ain't going to make it. And I just say, man, why don't you let him out? They said, well, Law, he got life. His out date is deceased. So he's got to lay there until he gets to that out date. And I used to say, man, I don't want to die in prison. But you know something? I don't care where I die today. Care if I die in prison? Care where I die at? It's where I wake up at is where I want, what's the concern to me. It don't make a difference about no jail cell, no prison cell, no matter, because I'm wherever I go, I'm going to preach the gospel. Wherever I go, I'm going to live the gospel. You don't want to throw truth, don't ask me. And I'm fallible. I still have things that go on in my life that are, I'm not always perfect in. But you know what? Once I know it's wrong, I ask God to forgive me and I get out of it. I ask God to forgive me. See, because I don't seek counsel from the world. I don't. That's one of the, see, one of my best friends told me, you talk too much because you always telling people your business. So I become a snitch. When the devil try to come at me, I go tell on him. Yeah. Anytime he come at me with a trick, I go tell on him. I become a snitch. Yeah. I was, hey, 911, the devil is messing with me. I was in a good place. I had got a little job. I was doing well. And I had someone in my life that I thought I was going to spend my life with. And we were in a good place. And the doctor told me, this is going to be a kick in the nuts. But you, I believe you got cancer. I said, huh? They sent me to go check it out. I'm not believing that. I'm not claiming that. But when it got checked out, I'm not a fool either. I went and got checked out, and my sister was there, and my friend was there. And he said, yeah, you got prostate cancer. And I looked at my sister real quick, looked at my friend, and seen the fear that came over them. And for about 10 seconds, that fear hit me. Then I stood up like the man of God that God called me to be. See, because it doesn't matter how I go out. I knew God delivered me from a 25-year crack addiction. God delivered me from being a pervert. God delivered me, man, from being, I got shot in the head. Another guy got shot in the leg. I don't fall. He never gets up. He dies. He got shot right here. I got shot right here. I don't never fall. I drove myself to the hospital after I went home and got my girl. They come on, you need to go with me in case I don't make it. You can take the car home. God decided that. Yeah. So I don't run, I don't live in that fear no more. It don't matter to me. When he told me I had cancer, that's okay. Well, God, this is another testimony. Yeah. Either this is the way I come and see you, or it's another chance that I can brag about what you've done in my life. Amen. So I was at home in the bed one night by myself, and the devil come. Here he come. Yeah. He gonna come. Here he come and told me, you know I'm gonna kill you. You know you're gonna die. I said, I told him, I said, listen, everybody's going to die. Now leave me alone so I can go to sleep. Well, I'm going to let that fear hold me, man. I didn't stop living a day. I kept doing everything I was supposed to do. Today I'm cancer free. Not a percent cancer in my body. But you know, you've got to get to that point where who do you believe? And I'm going to close with this. You've got to get to that point where who you're going to believe. Are you going to believe the Me Too fool sitting next to you that's not going to try? I got guys hired out there with me, young guys and strong guys, been there 3 days, miss a day, come 2 days, miss a day. Come and see the couple, see, and the couple, the manager, the plant manager, they come to me first before they do anything in the plant. They get respect me. I thank God for that. They don't have to tell me nothing. They say, Lyle, come here. say, this guy, that guy, this, that. So do what you got to do. So do what you got to do. I said, there's a couple guys I tried to talk to. He said, I said, well, hold on. I said, let me talk to him. Let me help him. He said, well, okay, I'm going to back off him. Give you a chance. Cat still come in drunk. Come in payday. Go home. I work first shift. He worked second. He come in, I'm leaving. He told me, hey, Lord, hold on, give me a ride home. I said, well, where you going? You just got here. Oh, man, I got this. And then we get in the car. He asked me, man, how much money you got in your pocket? What you mean? My woman don't ask me that kind of stuff. I say, but what's going on? Let me borrow this. Payday. Everybody in this room that they've been through. See, one thing about it, we're not stupid and we're not weak people. God brought us out because he showed us what it really was. He showed us the truth. So you knew what that was. And so I went to him one day. I said, brother, if you want me to, I can help you, man. Oh, man, I ain't never been to prison. I ain't got no felonies. Okay. I said, brother, there's worse prisons on the street than it is the ones I spent down time in. I said, but that's up to you. 3 days later, I see them walking him out the door. Don't give up on yourself. Let God take you through what you need to go through. Because you got to be, God called you and you alone to do that thing he wants you to do. And you got to be equipped to do that thing he wants you to do. It might not be the same thing he wants him to do. You might have to go through something tougher because you might have to be tougher. To whom much is given, much is required. And you got to understand that. We're not all called the same. Trust God. Quit getting counsel from the world.